Today we're doing a follow-up to the last Pure Science video on the Tonga eruption, because what is unfolding right now is unique volcanology in its excruciating, painful detail and lack of information. As we saw in the last video, the Tonga volcano erupted violently on Saturday morning, collapsing first into the water, then submerging neighboring islands, triggering two types of tsunamis, a terrifying shockwave that was seen from space, and record lightning flashes from the ash cloud. This volcanic eruption was the biggest in 30 years since the eruption of Mount Pinatubo in Philippines in 1991. It has been nearly 4 days since the Hunga Tonga erupted, and things are just beginning to clear up ever so slightly. In this video, we'll look at what geologists, volcanologists, atmospheric scientists, and others have found over the past 3 to 4 days since this giant eruption that was observable properly only from space. I'm Sandhya Ramesh and this is Pure Science. The events before and after the volcanic eruption occurred at breakneck speed. Because of the speed at which all these developments are unfolding, conversations between geologists and volcanologists on social media have been very interesting and informative to follow. So there are quite a few screenshots of tweets in this video. One of the reasons scientists are struggling to understand what is happening right now is because the volcano is underwater. Rather, the vent of the volcano or its opening is underwater. If we can't observe the vent, there's nothing much that we can tell. This volcano is nearly 2 kilometers tall and 20 kilometers wide, and all of it is under the water right now. So why did the volcano submerge underwater in the first place? We don't know the exact cause of this just yet. Many people are calling this as the collapse of the caldera. A caldera is a large depression that is formed when a volcano erupts, and then subsequently, because the magma chamber underneath is emptied, the rock on top just collapses into itself, forming a crater or a bowl-shaped depression. We don't know if that is what happened with Tonga. We don't know that the volcano erupted, the magma chamber emptied in the eruption, and then the caldera collapsed. This is not something that we've been able to confirm just yet. This could be one chain of events, but there could also be other reasons for why the volcano sank. This volcanologist will be able to find out in the future, especially because instrumentation that was on site on the island is also now submerged. One of the other things we don't fully understand with the latest event is what caused the explosion. The rock here is andesite, which is a gray and black volcanic rock that is made up primarily of silica. We know that andesitic magma generates explosive eruptions, and studies have shown that every millennium or so, this volcano produces a very violent eruption. So, we know that this was thick, viscous magma that had trapped water vapor as bubbles, and this we know leads to explosive outcomes as well. Such an explosion where water and magma mix is called a phreatomagmatic eruption. But the speed and magnitude at which things happened during this eruption indicate it was more than just water and magma mixing. Some of the superheated magma at over 1000 degrees Celsius with gas bubbles rose very quickly, and it met the super cool shallow oceanic water, which was at roughly about 20 degrees Celsius. This intensified the explosion. This is one of the working theories that volcanologists have right now. But this was a big event. The explosion was big, the energy released was massive, and the ash column was very, very high. And of course, the amount of destruction in terms of the area that the volcano covered. That said, there is a lot that is yet to be known. There are numerous images from satellites that show the eruption. This is because this volcano is so remote that it's very hard to study it close up, and the best place to observe what happened is actually from satellites. This was one of the most powerful explosions seen from space. All the satellite images show a tremendous explosion followed by a gigantic shockwave that radiated out from the volcano at the speed of sound. This produced a sonic boom in many places. Videos emerging now from Tonga show ash everywhere. After the eruption, the ash cloud was so thick and dark that sunlight was completely blocked off in these regions. This was then followed by thunderous booms of the shockwaves and furious lightning flashes. Many structures and settlements have been damaged in these Pacific islands, especially smaller housing settlements. But the primary and pressing damage here seems to be a layer of ash that covers everything. This ash fall is disruptive not just to daily life and infrastructure, but also to water supply and, of course, agricultural crops. After the explosion, the ash cloud spread to a diameter of a mind-boggling 260 kilometers, and it was shaped much like a mushroom cloud. This ash cloud from the eruption is now moving into the Indian Ocean after having moved over Australia and producing visually stunning sunrises on Monday. The shockwave from this eruption, as captured in so many satellite images now, moved at the speed of sound. Barometric and seismic instruments all over the world have recorded the wave now. While initial reports on Saturday came from the UK, we now know that even places like Alaska, which is over 9,000 kilometers away, also recorded disturbances. The shockwave from this event was recorded twice on most instruments as it radiated outwards around the globe. Each signal came from the opposite ends of the wave. The first came from the side that was closest to Tonga, and the next traveled around the world and came in the opposite direction. It was the opposite end of the same wave. These waves converged in Algeria and then again radiated outward and went back towards Tonga. Both the pressure wave and acoustic signal traveled, so the eruption itself was also heard in these places. It was heard in Alaska 7 hours after it occurred. When the volcano started to first become active on December 20th, it produced an ash cloud that rose up to 16 kilometers into the atmosphere. Then this calmed down, and then when it erupted again on the 14th of Jan, the ash column was even higher, going first up to 20 kilometers and ultimately crossing 30 kilometers. Experts think that it climbed up 39 kilometers into the skies. If that number gets confirmed, this could be the highest ash cloud we've ever seen. The eruption event is technically still ongoing as of Tuesday afternoon, but the ash has started to disperse. The sulfur dioxide concentrations in the atmosphere here have, of course, soared. Volcanic ash can produce acid rain that destroys plants and crops by burning them. Drinking water that is contaminated with ash fall could result in health issues and digestive issues. Scientists say that the harm to the environment from this ash fall is going to last for several years. And then there's the tsunami. The explosion produced a Pacific-wide tsunami that was triggered by the volcano. This hasn't happened before here. Experts now believe that it was not the collapse of the volcano into the water, but likely the eruption itself, which caused the tsunami in the Pacific. Tsunamis are typically caused by earthquakes. Historically, only about 5% of volcanoes have recorded to have produced tsunamis. So this was a very rare event, and something like this has not happened in over a century since the famous Krakatoa eruption in 1883. In the Pacific, the tsunami caused a lot of destruction. Most of the coastlines of the Pacific Islands have been damaged. All the islands and coastal areas in this region saw meter-high waves. In Tonga itself, waves reached a height of 2 meters, washing away houses. Even in New Zealand and Australia, waves that were over 1 meter high were recorded. And on top of the tsunami, the cyclone Cody was already passing through the Pacific Islands, and this intensified damage. The tsunami did travel, and it was felt as far away as Japan and South Korea and even the far eastern island parts of Russia. On the other side, on the western coast of the Americas, the tsunami once again affected life. It was seen on the west coast of US, Canada, and Mexico, and in fact went in as far as the Gulf of Mexico. But it caused destruction along Chile, Ecuador, and Peru. Two people drowned off the coast of Peru due to really high waves that went up to 2 meters here. But we still don't fully understand how the tsunami formed just yet because of the eruption. This will become clear over the subsequent days and weeks. Meanwhile, the US has said this week that a distress signal was reported from an isolated low-lying group of islands in the Tonga archipelago. The Pacificas, or the Pacific Islanders, now do not have reliable communication, and there's not enough information about their safety and well-being since the eruption. No mass deaths have been reported yet, although it has been reported that one British woman died in Tonga. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs has said that further eruptions cannot be ruled out, and they expressed particular concern for two small low-lying islands that are occupied. These are the islands of Fonoy and Mango. These are the places where an active distress signal was detected from. Since these islands are largely flat, there are not many higher areas for inhabitants to escape to during a tsunami. And since so many of the islands are now damaged with both water and ash, they are hard to access. Flights that are leaving Australia and New Zealand with supplies and aid are struggling to land and deliver their goods to Tonga's citizens. And of course, there's the added worry of a localized COVID outbreak during all of these rescue efforts. The Tonga Geological Services Agency, which monitors the active volcano on the regular, is unreachable because after the eruption, undersea communications are now cut off. Telephone lines are largely restored in some parts, but the undersea cable is likely to take at least 2 weeks to get fixed. We actually still don't know if the volcano has cooled down enough to cease activity or if further eruptions are expected. Hopefully, there won't be anything as powerful as Saturday's explosion, but some experts think that few more eruptions could follow, maybe in the next few days. When the volcano degasses and clears, it can be observed better. But until we can actually monitor the vent of the volcano, we are still guessing blindly about what might be happening there and what is to follow.